She fell from the sky, she fell very far, and Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
Love it or hate it, the 1939 movie The Wizard of Oz established Kansas on the global map. And if you're from Kansas, or even from Kansas City, Missouri, no matter where you go in the world, somebody's going to make a crack about Dorothy or Toto. Or how about this witty remark? You're not in Kansas anymore, are you? The latest Hollywood blockbuster, Oz the Great and Powerful, brings it all back. The movie tells the backstory of the wizard, who also happened to hail from the Sunflower State.
Step this way! See the most wondrous sights imaginable!
Kansas is full of good men. I don't want to be a good man. I want to be a great one.
Not everyone here locally is trying to escape the legacy of the Wizard of Oz. Joining us now is one Kansan who can't get enough of Oz in her life. Jane Albright is a director of the International Wizard of Oz Fan Club. She got into it as a kid.
I grew up in Topeka, Kansas, in a house that had a shelf of Oz books. The Wizard of Oz is the first in a series of books that eventually grew to be 40 titles, and I wanted to read all the books. I had to borrow them from neighbors and acquire them over the years. That turned me into a collector. In college, I won a book collecting contest, and people began asking me questions about Oz as a piece of literature, or about the biographer, or about the MGM film. And I usually didn't know the answers. So at that point, I started reading the reference books and the biographies and material about Oz until now, here I am 30 years later, just fully immersed.
So now you're a total Oz expert, I would say.
Well, there are people who are published whose expertise I would bow to in a heartbeat. But I do know an awful lot about Oz.
International Oz Club. Now, what, pray tell, does it do?
The International Wizard of Oz Club was founded back in 1957 by a teenage boy who collected Oz books. And he approached other people who he knew were interested in Oz, primarily from fan mail that had written to the man who was writing Oz books at the time, and an exhibit that was mounted at the Columbia Library. And he wrote everyone who was interested and asked, do you want to join an Oz Club? And he rounded up 20 or so people, and now, 50 years later, we are more like 1,000 people. It's a nonprofit educational organization. We publish a very credible journal, The Bomb Bugle, and meet annually, publish rare and unusual Oz material that we make available for sale.
Now, where is the organization based out of?
We do have an office in San Francisco, but we are a entirely volunteer-run organization. So everyone who contributes is working out of their own homes all over the country.
So is there a local Oz Club, too?
There is not. In fact, with Oz the Great and Powerful coming out, I emailed all of the members I could find in the greater Kansas City, if you stretch that up to the edge of Oklahoma and into Kansas area. And there were only about 20 of us right around here. 6 of us went to see the film together the opening night.
So you mentioned that this has been, you know, a longtime passion for you. Why do you care about the story of Oz so much? Are there themes that mean a lot to you?
The book of The Wizard of Oz is not presented as a dream. Oz is a real place. So the subsequent books in the series create a very strong, growing sense of place as more and more characters and activities and adventures take place there. As a young reader, I wanted to go to Oz. It was a very real place to me. But obviously, I outgrew that when I was in college, and that's kind of when I shifted over to being more of a collector. Now it's this incredible network of people that I know all over the country, all over the world, who love Oz, and being connected and networked with them is incredibly satisfying. I really have great fun as a collector, finding and acquiring things that I've looked for years, or finding things that other people I know want and directing them to pick them up is really fun and satisfying.
So you mentioned the members. What lengths do these members go to express their devotion to Oz?
I know people who have purchased a second home to house their Oz collection. 2 or 3 individuals whose collections are so massive that they've been able to open private museums. there are people who appear in character regularly, and that's the way they express their interest. Gosh, a number of Oz fans write their own original fan fiction or do a lot of artwork, illustration, either for books or just as freestanding fine art. There's really no limits.
Now, you mentioned earlier that a lot of Oz fans collect memorabilia and that you have a collection. So tell me about it.
My collection fills the third floor of my home in Hyde Park. I had to eventually divide up the space to where I have sort of a library area, which is five or six floor-to-ceiling bookcases filled with Oz books, other books the authors wrote under their own or pseudonyms, other names, books illustrated by the illustrators of Oz, international translations. I have hundreds of international foreign language translations, a lot of material from Wicked, the phenomenally successful stage musical, and the original book by Gregory Maguire. Another corner, if you will, of the floor is taken over with toys, games, dolls, housewares, children's furniture. I have probably a dozen file cabinets, glass cases loaded with ephemera, a life-size Wicked Witch, you know, that I picked up last Halloween at a Spirit Halloween store, stands in a corner, and when I turn her on, she talks to you if you walk in front of her. It's crazy. My rarest and most unusual things are generally books, and describing them takes a long time because you have to understand the context to appreciate their interest. The more general Oz fan who walks in is usually most interested to see. I have bars of Over the Rainbow handwritten by Harold Arlen on a piece of paper that I'm just thrilled to have that particular piece. I have a lot of merchandise that was released with the 1939 film. Dolls, figural soaps, Valentines, paper masks, some things that are particularly scarce and other things that are probably not so much. I have a wonderful little collapsible cup. You know, those little, they'd look like a pillbox, but then you expand them up. For the 200th performance of The Wizard of Oz on Broadway in 1903, everyone in the audience was given one of these little collapsible cups with the fact that it was The Wizard of Oz 200th performance engraved on the bottom. And I have that little cup in its original box.
Let's turn to the new movie.
Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oz the Great and Powerful. So I take it you've seen it more than once.
I've seen it twice.
And what do you think? Do you think it really is true to the spirit of the original movie? Or
nearly everyone asks that question. And the MGM movie, the classic one you're referring to with Judy Garland, is one of maybe 40 Wizard of Oz movies that have been made since the earliest one appeared in 1910. So for a collector like me, I don't think so much of The Great and Powerful compared to the MGM film as The Great and Powerful compared to a much larger idea of what Oz is. I think it's children will like it, and I think that's what would have mattered most to the author. It's certainly not L. Frank Baum's vision of Oz. It's not exactly MGM's vision of Oz, but then neither's Wicked. It's a wonderfully fun film. It does do a lot of homage to the MGM movie, starting in black and white. He gets caught in a tornado. He follows the yellow brick road. He has to kill a witch. Things that only appeared in the very first Oz book, so, and in the MGM film. But, you know, it's completely its own story. And I think people need to go to it open-minded and look at it that way and just be able to enjoy it for what it is. The scenery's beautiful. What people can do now with, those beautiful character-generated animations and sequences. We've never had a film that could do that before, and it's really lovely to see Oz come to life with all that color and magic.
So, you know, when you think about people who live in Kansas and the jokes that they endure about being in Kansas, certainly The Wizard of Oz is one of the jokes that people will say, oh, you know, where's Dorothy and Toto if mm-hmm. you live in Kansas? So do you think Kansans and Kansasitians might have the opposite reaction to The Wizard of Oz, that, you know, well, maybe they can't stand to hear anything about it, or they think it's a stereotype of where they live?
That's certainly a legitimate reaction a lot of people could feel, depending on how they feel about Oz. From my perspective, Dorothy considered being from Kansas a wonderful thing. In one of the later Oz books, a princess asks her if she is of royal blood, and she says, oh, no, better than that. I'm from Kansas. She loved being from Kansas, and it was not described in the sort of negative sense that people attributed to the Depression era 1930s Kansas that was depicted in the MGM film. So that's part of that. And the other thing is just what you said, wherever you go, anywhere, you say you're from Kansas and people say Dorothy. Mm-hmm. There is no other state in America that has an association that people feel good about all over the world. The Wizard of Oz has been translated into literally every language. There's a whole series of Oz books in Russia where Ellie and her little dog Tatoshka are as well known as Dorothy and Toto are here. It's been a live action film in Turkey. There are animated movies in Japan. Everywhere people know Oz and they know Kansas. You know, I just don't know what would happen if you were running around most of the countries of the world and said you were from where? Tennessee, West Virginia, Idaho. There's just not that strong and positive and smiling a response as we Kansans get.
So now I have to ask you, in terms of your friends and your circle and your family, do they ever say to you, Jane, enough about Oz already?
All the time. I often say when I'm asked to talk about Oz, thank you, because I'm usually asked to stop talking about Oz. I do contain the Oz collection on the third floor. I'm not one of these collectors who, if you go into my kitchen and open the cupboard doors, all the, you know, glasses or jelly glasses with Wizard of Oz on them. And I don't have Oz artwork all over the walls outside the third floor. So I managed to kind of contain it that way. My husband does prefer that I not piggyback family vacations on Oz events that I want to attend. We'd kind of like to separate those. Which is only hard because I have really dear friends all over the country, and wherever I am, I want to go see them. So sometimes there's a little bit of a juggle there. My daughter doesn't connect with my love of Oz particularly. She certainly appreciates some of our good friends, people we've vacationed with and know well. But I'm definitely the only one in my family who is smitten with Oz as I am.
Well, thank you for being with us on Casey Kearns.
My pleasure. I'll be happy to be here anytime.
Jane Albright is a director of the International Wizard of Oz Fan Club. See photos of her extensive collection of Oz memorabilia at the website kcur.org. Click on Arts and Culture.
After the break, local musician Ashley Miller moves away from experimental music and into an African groove. This is Casey Currents.